You're listening to Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer, Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob joins me to talk about Atletico's 0-0 draw at Roma in the Champions League on Tuesday. Topics of discussion include Diego Simeone's four central midfielder approach and whether it contributed to the full-time result. Spoiler, it did. We'll also break down Simeone's striker options at the moment. There are several to choose from, but not all of them are very good. Finally, we'll banter about some news items and preview this weekend's game, a very exciting game indeed, the home opener for Atletico at Estadio Wanda Metropolitano. It will be against Malaga, and it should be a very exciting game for everyone involved. Before we continue, a few housekeeping notes. First and foremost, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Again, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Learn all about how to support the show, how to become a patron. You'll get some pretty cool benefits if you decide to become a patron. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Also, like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. And you can subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your podcasting platform of choice. We'll be back with Rob Walker in just a minute. All right, Rob. So I usually don't do this, but I'm going to do it today for the sake of just changing things up. Where do you want to start with Roma Atletico?
Ooh, that's all right. Let's have a look. See, I guess at the very beginning, the lineup.
Okay.
What did you think, especially about Vieto starting this match? Do you think that was a good decision?
I hated the lineup, actually.
Good, I was hoping for that kind of answer.
I really thought we were past this with Cholo. I really did. Playing four central midfielders, again, I knew as soon as the team sheet dropped what the result was going to be. I'm serious, I'm not lying. I knew exactly what it was going to be. It was going to be goalless. He was prioritizing the clean sheet, which is fine. But they looked so much better when he took off Gabby and when he took off and when he put on Carrasco. As far as Vieto goes, more like Vietno.
Yes, exactly. Right?
That should be the last time he starts for a while. Like, there are signs of life there, but just because there are signs of life doesn't mean there's going to be an end product. His chance that he had just before going off, the 1v1 with Allison, case in point. Mm. If he had lifted that ball a couple more inches, it would have bounced into the goal. And it would be 1-0.
Yeah, he really hasn't shown that much in his... He's had a good few appearances, but he really hasn't shown a whole lot of anything. Because, I mean, even when last season Correa wasn't on fire, he was at least providing assists and passing.
Yeah.
Vieto's not really doing that either.
There are a couple problems with Vieto starting. Number one, there's no end product. Even though he's working hard, even though he's kind of buying into Cholismo, which he didn't really do his first year at Atletico, the end product isn't there. And if the end product is not there for a forward, you better be doing a hell of a lot more to make up for it. And he just, working hard only takes you so far. Number two is that Simeone is effectively playing two second strikers up top right now. Torres.
Yeah, both of them were too deep the whole game.
Torres hasn't started yet this year, has he? For the first four games?
I don't think so, no.
No, Torres hasn't started, so... Yeah, Simeone has played with two second strikers. He went Griezmann Vieto on Tuesday. He went Correa Vieto against Las Palmas and Valencia. And he went with... Who did he go with? He went with Griezmann and someone else against Girona. It might have been Torres.
Yeah, Torres may have started that match.
I think he did start the Girona match. These are kind of the options he has right now. Because he doesn't have a reliable number nine, he has to start two second strikers. And neither of those guys, Griezmann has never been a number nine. We've talked about it before. He's also playing like crap white right now, which we'll discuss. But he's never been a number nine. Vieto is like the furthest thing from a number nine. Gamero was in the stands because Simeone doesn't trust him right now, which is always good to see in September. And Torres.
Yeah. And that's a concern.
And Torres didn't even play because he was so bad against Valencia.
Yes, and I just looked. Torres did start against Girona.
Yeah, so I can see Simeone's thinking to himself, okay, I don't really have any other options here. But you have Angel Correa, who has been sensational to start this season. And he came on in this game, when did he come on, about the 60-minute mark?
Yeah, 60-65, I think.
He came on for Vietno, and he instantly just injected life into this game.
He did something this offseason. I don't know what it was, whether he went to go see some Miami doctor or something, but he's going.
Yeah, Correa had...
That little dude can fly.
Correa, in just 33 minutes, did more than Vieto. They equaled Vieto's shots on target, completed 89% of his passes. Vieto completed just 64% with only three fewer touches. I think it's clear who the priority guy should be from now on.
Yeah, and since nobody really... I mean, Torres can, but he's also not that good anymore. But nobody really works with Griezmann that well, so you're just going to have to take whoever's on the best form at this point.
Exactly, and we kind of knew that going into the season, that because Atleti weren't able to sign a new striker, that it was going to be, you know, Griezmann, Correa, Gamero, hope for the best. And that's this is what we're going to be seeing. So if you're not used to it, you know, by now, only four games in the season, but if you're not used to it, you probably should get used to it till January. Because this is probably, it's probably going to be Griezmann and Correa from here on out. Torres didn't even play in this game, which surprises me because Simeone always plays him in the big games.
You know, it's almost as if Atleti could use a big, strong, physical number nine who's aggressive and can bring other players into the game.
You don't say. That's a wild take there, Rob.
Yeah, who could have thought?
That's a scorching hot take.
Especially one that may or may not be in Brazil or some other place.
Who knows?
He's hiding from Roman Abramovich.
That, again, I knew as soon as the team sheet dropped what this result was going to be. And yes, Atletico ended up playing very, very well, and they should have won. Did you see Michael Kaley's expected goals chart?
I certainly did.
Yeah.
They looked really nice.
They played.
Was it 2.7
really,
something?
It was like 2.2 to like 0.5 was the expected goals chart.
That's pretty decent.
Even without a number nine, even without like a killer nine, which is what Atleti need, you have to win that game. You have to finish those chances. Sometimes they don't go in, and sometimes you get results like this.
Yeah, and they hit the woodwork twice.
Yeah, Saul hit the woodwork twice. He was, I think, Atleti's best player on the night. He was, mattress maker of the match would be Saul. Just heartbreaking how it ended for him. He had the wide open net in stoppage time, and he just lofted it over.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really feel that annoyed with him about it, because as you say, he played sensationally well.
No, Saul always shines brightest in the Champions League. Five shots, two on target, three key passes, one three headers. He was sensational, and unfortunately hit woodwork twice. I mean... Other nights, those are going to be two goals for him. On this night, it wasn't. Even though he was playing on the right almost the entire game, thanks, Cholo, he still did just about everything.
Yeah, it was a bit of a log jam in that midfield, when you have four central midfielders just running all over each other's toes.
Who would have thunk it?
Who could have possibly seen this coming?
Yeah, so Gabby started like I thought he would, but he lasted only an hour. And he's only played two games so far this season. He has been substituted in both of them. And he came off for Carrasco this time. Carrasco played pretty well, although he still needs to stop dribbling so much. Is this kind of indicative of Gabby's role in the team? Well, first of all, I think it is indicative. I think you'll agree that it's indicative of Gabby's role in the team becoming less and less important. But do you think it's deserved? Do you think Cholo is kind of phasing him out the right way?
Because he was so good last year. I'm kind of on board with it, because it sort of seems like something that would maybe be happening a little too early, given his age and how well he played last season. But I'm kind of okay with sort of heading it off before he puts in just a total stinker out on the pitch. If you want to go ahead and limit his minutes for this season and save him for when you need him, I don't really have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I think it's the right thing to do. It's better to err on the side of caution, err on the side of being a little early, rather than continuing to play him until he clearly can't play anymore.
Yeah, and the reality is, unlike a lot of positions for Atletico right now, we don't exactly have a huge need for Gabby's presence right now. There are a couple more areas that are more pressing.
Not with the way Tomas is playing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Tomas is
he's been great.
Doing so well, it doesn't matter.
He has just been amazing, just continues growing game by game, shielding the defense. I've said this before, he's kind of now, he's kind of becoming a counterattacking option because he's just so good at intercepting the ball. His long passing is becoming better. He just continues to grow and continues to get better.
Yeah, and I think Simeone must be loving it because he's just the kind of player he when the players are exhausted in the other team's defense, he can burst through them, and it's unbelievable. He's been great this season.
I mean, you can't bench him at this point.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's no way with how well he has played to start the season. I mean, he's played 90 minutes all three games to start the season, and that shows a lot of faith being placed in him. And getting the number 5 shirt showed that there was a lot of faith placed in him.
Yeah, and this is what we wanted to see from Simeone. Play Tomas a lot and just get him used, because he really hasn't played a huge amount.
No.
So this is good that he's kind of getting used to playing every single match.
Another thing I kind of saw on the team sheet was that Godin and Savic started together.
Mm.
And that was another indicator to me of how this game was going to go.
Lock it down, son.
but to be fair, Savic was actually pretty good. The ball distribution was much better than it usually is for him. He was good. Juan Fran played well. Second consecutive solid game for him. Felipe is not showing any signs of aging. It is early in the season, but he's not showing any signs of slowing down just yet.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad of a performance by the back line. I think they really limited Roma, and Roma have some good players, and there are a lot of times where they look dangerous, but Atletico were just stopping them, blocking them. I think they did a very good job locking them down.
Yeah, 11 shots for Roma, just one on target. That is now, in the last two games, one shot on target conceded by Atletico's defense against Valencia and Roma.
You can't really complain about that. I think they kind of got unlucky in this match not to win, but if you're keeping it that tight, you're always going to have a chance.
Yeah, both games away as well. Jan Oblak has had to make one save in the last week. That's pretty
I think
good.
He's just been asleep.
Yeah. Well, the one save he did make in this game, I think it was off Nainggolan. It was off the boot of Nainggolan. It was a pretty wicked shot from near the edge of the box, and he got down pretty smartly to make the save. But that's been it for him.
He's one of those guys that you have to close him down a long way from the goal, because yeah. He has a rocket launcher.
I was really worried about him because he does everything for Roma. He's become one of the best midfielders in the world, and he kind of does everything for that team. He can create. He can stop attacks from being created. He's awesome. And Atleti did a decent job limiting him. He had to come off after 78 minutes. Edin Dzeko didn't get a sniff of goal. Diego Perotti didn't get a sniff of goal, although he tried to draw a couple penalties.
Oh, he certainly did.
good job, good effort, Diego. Good job.
Yeah. El Shaarawy came off the bench. I was worried about him going into this match.
That was a little surprising to me that De Francesco kind of saved him for so late in the game.
Yeah, I thought he probably should have come on sooner.
Yeah, but whatever the case, it was a really good performance by Atleti, which is, you wouldn't think so because of the scoreline and because of the team that Simeone started with, but it was a really good performance. 10 shots on target. Allison made 10 saves. I mean, yeah, you got to have a guy to finish those, but you could also argue that I know it's easy to say that if they had Costa or somebody, they would have won. Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
But are there going to be more games like this until January? Probably. There are going to be more games like this. This was never about Atleti, you know, coming out of the chute. You know, this was about Atleti kind of rotating, feeling things out, getting through the first half of the season, and then they're banking on Bitolo and Costa if he comes, because we still don't know. If those two guys come in January, then they're banking on January becoming the time in which they start to really click.
Yeah, for sure. You're gonna run up against a goalkeeper who just has a worldie and stops every single thing coming at him, and that's just gonna happen, especially when you don't have an imposing number 9. So you know that's gonna happen. It'll be okay. This match, I think they're the second toughest team in the group, not including Atletico, but the second toughest team, and you know, holding them to a 0-0 draw at their place is fine.
I think it's fine.
That doesn't hamper Atletico too much.
I mean, the only thing that kind of bothers me about that is Atleti played so well and dominated, especially
right.
In the second half, that they probably should have won. A point on the road is fine to start the Champions League. Atleti have only lost once in 5 Champions League group stage openers. That was at Olympiacos in 2014. That was Jan Oblak's debut, and that was a horrible, horrible game. So Atleti usually get off to good starts here, and this was a fine start, I think.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like a worse result because Chelsea just obliterated Carabag.
Yeah, yeah, they beat Carabag 6-0, which removes some of the mystery from the most mysterious team in the Champions League.
I think we kinda know.
It gives them a really healthy goal difference advantage. that probably they probably won't lose. So if Atlanta are going to win the group, they're going to have to do it outright. And it makes that game in less than 2 weeks now at the Wanda against Chelsea. It makes that game really, really important.
Yeah, I think those are going to be really good games. I think these are two teams that, you know, are going to look well when they play against each other, because they do similar things. They're not the same, but they do similar things. So it should be a fun match and very important for the outcome of the group.
Yeah. And I still think the most important game, though, is going to be the game in Azerbaijan.
Yeah, because that's going to be fun.
Can't you see Atleti going there and getting another goalless draw? Can't you see it happening?
Yeah, probably.
I can and absolutely. They'll
probably go out there with the Land of Fire shirts on again. I want that. Bring it back.
Throwing it way back.
Bring it back.
We do have a couple of Twitter questions here. Thank you to those of you who submitted your Twitter questions. From Jake Swan, at UpCandyE with 3 Ys. Do you agree with Savage getting the nod over Josema or even Lucas in big games? And why doesn't Cholo start Griezmann and Correa together? We'll address the second half of that in a minute, but I still don't think Savage should get the nod over Josema or Lucas in big games. But we'll see what happens. It's still so early in the season to kind of make declarations about what Simeone's team is going to look like week in, week out. I normally do not agree with it, even though he played well on Tuesday.
Yeah, I wonder if he's trying to do a little bit of rotation to keep the other two guys fresh. I mean, Savage and Godin together are going to stop a lot of things going on, and they did well in this match.
I mean,
would prefer to see Godin and Lucas myself.
Yeah, I mean, luckily Roma didn't play with a ton of pace, because, you know, we talked about Savage and Godin before and how pace can take both of them out. If Godin has someone
that's
like,
why I was worried about Sharawi.
Yeah, if Godin has someone like Jimenez or Lucas next to him, that's not so much of a problem. But Godin and Savage together, they're slow. Godin reads the game extremely well, but that doesn't make up for, you know, lack of speed.
Yeah, exactly. And he needs someone alongside him that can do a bit of his running for him.
Why doesn't Cholo start Griezmann and Correa together? This kind of goes. This kind of ties in nicely to another question we got from at @AmalikSJ. Thoughts on Griezmann so far? He's yet to score this season.
Yeah, Griezmann hasn't been brilliant. Obviously, he got sent off. That was good. And then he hasn't scored yet and hasn't looked hugely threatening. I was kind of hoping for a better performance against Roma. But I think that him and Correa would be a partnership worth checking out.
Yeah, Griezmann came off early in this game. About 10 minutes to go, he came off for Gaetan. And he was not very happy about being substituted, but I'm like, dude, he didn't play well. 27 touches in 78 minutes, 3 shots, none of them on target. He didn't score in preseason, which I wasn't too concerned about because it's just preseason. But he did get sent off in the first game. Atleti didn't lose either of the games he missed at Las Palmas and at Valencia. They didn't lose this one either, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't through him playing well. They didn't need him to survive in this game. So he might be a little rusty still. It's kind of narrative-y to say, oh, he's just biding his time till Man United bid for him. I think that's very narrative-y.
Yeah, and I don't buy it.
I don't want to address that. But Griezmann's going to be fine. I mean, he has enough of a track record to where you just think he's going to be fine. Griezmann and Correa should probably be the preferred striking partnership at this point. Although Correa and Griezmann aren't really great together, and Correa kind of fits more as Griezmann's replacement rather than the Griezmann complement. They're your two best player. They're your two best forwards.
Yeah, with the team he got, though, they don't really have much of a choice. So I'm cool with Correa being up there until January at least.
Yeah, and even then, who knows what the team will look like in January? Who knows where Correa will be, how well he'll still be playing? But for now, those two guys are your two best forwards, and it's not really close because Gamero's played 20 minutes this season. Torres has looked bad, and Vieto is working hard, but he can't be starting.
No, so it's got to be Correa for me. I think it'll probably be who it is this weekend. I would like to see it be, because I think Malaga are pretty terrible, so I think Griezmann could possibly open his account against Malaga.
Let's talk a little bit about this weekend. It's the opening of a stadium called Wanda. I cannot believe they actually got it done on time. Oh, actually, they didn't get it
done. Yeah, they pulled
it
out.
They didn't. It was supposed to be done for the start of the season, but obviously that didn't happen. Then they set this September 16 deadline, and they made it, amazingly.
Yeah, they did it. It's done. It's over. We're going to be in the stadium, whether people like it or not. it'll be an experience.
It will. Atleti trained there today on Thursday for the first time. It's actually happening. This beautiful illuminated stadium with 68,000 seats, and they are planning for 12 hours of fiestas on Saturday. It's actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of what you think about the stadium and where it is, it's beautiful. I really think it's a really nice-looking stadium, and it's kind of unique. You know, there aren't too many stadiums in Spain that particularly look like that. I think it kind of reminds me, actually, of the stadium that Atletico played against Roma in the Champions League. It looks a little Stadio Olimpico-y with the big open roof area.
Yeah, and it was built to try to attract the Olympics and to try to attract track and field events. So you're not too far off, Rob.
Hey, there we go. We're the new West Ham.
Don't say that. Don't bloody say that. But
reverse jinx.
But Simeone said in the long interview he did after his renewal was announced, he said that people were going to fall in love with this stadium. It's going to be, I still think it's going to be a weird feeling out phase because of the Calderon and how attached Atleti was and how attached it was to Atleti's identity, how attached fans got to that stadium. And we're going to miss the Calderon, but this is a new beginning. It's one of the finalists for the 2019 Champions League final. It could become a de facto national stadium for the Spanish national team. It could be where the Copa del Rey final is held every year. The opportunities that are going to come from this stadium are immense, and the Calderon just could not offer that.
Yeah, and Atletico have gotten good because of all the money they've gotten for consistently being in the Champions League till the very late rounds. And now this kind of solidifies their financial position for the future because they'll have the stadium, whether they're good or not.
Well, maybe. Yeah, Atleti had to pay so
much. Unless they lose it, unless Slim comes over and takes it back.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Atleti had to pay so much to get this done. Cerezo confirmed on Wednesday that Atleti paid 170 million euros for the stadium.
Whew.
It's a lot of money.
It's almost a Neymar.
Yeah, it's 50 million away from being a Neymar, and you wonder why Atleti couldn't make any signings this summer. Or they did, but they had to...
We were paying for our own Neymar.
I mean, they did make a signing, but they had to just, you know, scrounge under couch cushions to find money.
And finesse it in the most major way.
And this is why, and it's going to take probably half a dozen years for this thing to get paid off. It's too early to talk about the financial realities in future years, but...
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble, and I still kind of question if it was necessary to do it this year. I still think you could have played another year at the Calderon, but, you know, they made a decision. I don't necessarily agree with it, but the stadium looks beautiful, and it's the third largest stadium in Spain. It's got like 15,000 more seats than the Calderon. It's going to be an electrifying stadium.
Yeah, it should be an interesting opening to the weekend. Should be a fun one because it's not a particularly stressful match. But then the one against Sevilla, I think, and the one against Chelsea are both going to be really, really interesting matches with the atmosphere.
Yeah, so Malaga are bad.
Really bad. They were bad last year.
They're not good. Yeah, they're in trouble. I really think they're in trouble. They've lost all three games they've played. They're in the drop zone already. They've scored only one goal in those three games, and a defender scored it.
And they lost all their good players. That happened. Lost Sandro, lost Pablo Fornals. They've lost everybody.
They lost their good players, and they didn't really replace them. And the coach and the owner are fighting each other. This has all the makings of a team that is going to be involved in a relegation fight. All the makings.
And it's all on Twitter, thanks to President Altani of Malaga.
All the good fights are on Twitter these days.
I mean, that honestly is one of my favorite Twitter accounts. His Twitter account is awesome. Well, I love it.
It is.
It is.
But Malaga do have a couple.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look, they were just in the Champions League semifinals, you know, 5 years ago, and now here we are, and they're really sticky bad.
Yeah, they should have been until they were robbed by Dortmund.
Yeah, that was not bad.
I believe that was only 4 years ago.
God. That was crazy. Four and a half years ago. I mean, they had all the money in the world then.
Yeah, and they had Cazorla, and they had all these other great guys in this team, and they had a lot of money to spend. It looked like they were going to be, you know, top four, top five material for years, and then they kind of pulled the leads.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, they came into money quick and then got in trouble for it pretty quick. But, you know, these things happen. They had young Isco, sold him. Yeah,
young Isco.
That was good.
Isco, who has now signed a new renewal at Real Madrid. That's exciting for them. not for us, but exciting for them.
Yes, Isco is a very good player.
Malaga do have a couple Atletico Canteranos in the team, though. Ignacio Camacho left this summer. He went to Wolfsburg,
I'm going to say.
Yes, he went to Wolfsburg after his West Brom move fell through last summer.
Yeah, I think I'd rather play in Wolfsburg, too. No Tony Pulis for me.
But you do have Borja Bastón in this team.
Yeah.
You have Kiko in this team, both 25 years old, both Atletico Academy graduates. Borja never... He played one game for Atletico before he tore up his knee, which is still really heartbreaking that he never got a second chance. Kiko, I don't remember how many games Kiko played for Atletico, but it wasn't that many. So those will be guys to watch out for. They're kind of important players, especially Borja. He's played 90 minutes in all three of Malaga's games so far, although hasn't really had a sniff of a goal.
Yeah, he was good with Ibar before he moved to Swansea. I don't think they really knew what he was in Swansea.
His time at Swansea was really bad. What happened for him at Swansea? I think it was just inconsistent playing time, really.
Yeah, I think because when he came in, they had three managers that season, and I don't think he ever really got the trust of any of them. So he never really played.
He scored one goal in the Premier League last season, and then got moved right back to Spain.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Malaga might be a lot prettier than Swansea, to be honest.
Yeah, the scenery is, the football maybe not so much.
Malaga, very nice place. Looks gorgeous. At least you got that going for you.
Yeah. So, this should be an easy win. It really should, but it probably won't be.
It'll be tense at times, as it always is.
This is either going to be an easy win, or it's going to be like disastrous. There really is no middle ground here. Like, this won't be a 1-0 win, I don't think. This will either be, like, 3-0 or 4-0 Atletico, or, like, 0-0 or 1-0 Malaga.
Yeah, Malaga have been a bit of a spoiler for a lot of the big clubs in Spain the last few years.
Yes, they have. Last year, Atleti beat them 4-2 at home in that crazy game at the Calderon, which Carrasco and Gamero both scored twice. Stefan Savage got sent off. And then in April, at La Rosaleda, a 2-0 win. They're pretty comfortable in the end, with goals from Koke and Felipe scored the second one.
Yeah, they were literally on the beach at that point.
Yeah. So,
yeah, Malaga were out.
Predictions for this game?
2-0. I don't think it'll be too close. Like I said, I don't believe in Malaga. I'm sorry. I like your team, but I wish you all the best, but I think you're bad.
I'm usually conservative in my predictions, but I'm going to go 3-0.
Yeah, this one just kind of seems like one of those matches.
By the way, Malaga's upcoming schedule after Atletico, they have a trip midweek to Valencia.
Oh, good.
Then they host Athletic. Then they go to Sevilla. Then they play at Barcelona after international break.
They can't catch a break.
No.
I mean, they could legitimately have no points. They're on zero right now. I mean,
I feel bad for them because this schedule is just absolutely murderous.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some good teams in the league this year. I think the relegation battle will be an interesting one, but I think Malaga could definitely get sucked into it.
Yeah, it's not like the relegation battle like it was last year when you had those Osasuna, Sporting, and I repressed the third team. Who was it? Why can't I remember the third relegated team? I remember the bottom three were the same from week...
Granada. They were so bad.
The Sunderland of La Liga. Yeah, so you had Granada, Sporting, and Osasuna in the bottom three from week 9 until the very end of the season. This year, it's going to be different. It's going to be different because I have concerns over a team like Depor who need to move on from Pepe Mel rather soon. They have way too much talent to be down here. You have Las Palmas who have been playing really kind of iffily. I know Vitolo's been hurt, but kind of iffily. Espanyol looked terrible. Malaga, Alaves, I'm very concerned about those two teams.
Yeah, all of us are in a pickle, to say the least.
Yeah, Girona, if they don't pick up points at home nearly every week, they could be in this because I don't think they're going to do anything away from home.
Yeah, those are the three favorites, I'd say, those three. You could maybe... I mean, Leganés are off to a great start, but you can see them dropping down
well
in there.
Levante have started really well because they're cockroaches. Getafe, same thing. They've started well. So, yeah, those three were kind of tipped to go down, but they are all in the top half through 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're picking up points.
Yeah, so good for them. All right.
It'll shake out.
couple news items to get to. Did you see from the Jeremy's really petty department. Did you see Marcelo's contract extension at Real Madrid?
I saw that it happened, yes. I wonder, could that possibly impair someone's career? You know, I mean, just I'm just talking, you know, in theory here. If there was, you know, a young up-and-coming left back, it might hinder him a little bit.
I don't think Real Madrid have one of those. Who could you be referring to?
Yeah. Yeah, true. It was just a hypothetical, as I said. You know, they don't have a player like that. But if they did, I'd be really worried if I was him.
If said player from their crosstown rivals wanted to come to Real Madrid and wanted to and had illusions of challenging from their starting left-back spot, I'd say those hopes were dashed with the news of this extension. But luckily, yeah, there is no such
player.
That
seemed like a bad decision looking back on it. Oh, man. Rough go of it. We've never seen young players flame out at Real Madrid, though. So it's not like they have previous for this at all.
It's never happened in history, has it, Rob?
Mm-mm. No, it's incredible. It's a great run they've been on.
Speaking of Real Madrid, Saul was asked, as all Atletico players are, he was asked during his interview on Wednesday whether he would ever go to Real Madrid. He said, essentially, LOL, no. he said, I wouldn't want them and they don't want me. How can you not love this guy?
Saul's the best. He's the best. Been really good this year. I just love Saul. He's such a good young player and he loves Atletico so much. It's so obvious.
Yeah,
has tattoo on his arm.
I kind of find it galling that, like, you know, Griezmann was asked this before. It's kind of galling to me that, you know, Real Madrid players don't get asked if they'd ever play for Atletico. Why do Atletico players get asked if they'd ever play for Real Madrid?
It's like the newspapers have some kind of agenda that favors one club over another.
Hmm, interesting. Let me get the thinking face emoji up here.
Yes, exactly. We might ponder that one.
Lastly,
yeah.
The new third shirt. What do you think of them?
They're interesting. They're very kind of camo. Is it like digital camo with like some pink chucked in there?
Well,
I don't know exactly what's going on.
I'm not. It's kind of like a charcoal color. It's charcoal and pink. It's the kind of template Nike's been using for all the teams that need third shirts under them. Chelsea's third shirt kind of has this background pattern. Manchester City's shirt does. Spurs.
Ugh.
Roma.
Okay. Barcelona have a similar thing as well.
Yeah, but theirs is kind of burgundy. Atletico's is kind of charcoal-ish.
Ours is sort of closer to PSG.
Yeah, PSG's, though, is like solid black. I really like theirs.
Yeah, theirs looks pretty good. They always have good jerseys.
Yeah, but we look good in pink.
I mean, I think our kits are pretty good this year. To be honest, the home shirt is my least favorite. I think the yellow looks fantastic, though.
I still love the home shirt. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually.
That's fine. You're in for it. It just looks a little funky to me. The front just looks a little funky. But the yellow. Oh, that yellow looks nice.
The yellow is beautiful, and we've been lucky enough to see it three times already this season.
Yeah, yeah, they played in that a good bit. They played all the Audi Cup in it, I think. Maybe. They certainly won it in the yellow.
The second game, the first game, they wore the home shirt against Napoli. They wore the home shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. They would.
So I
think it's certainly more recognizable than some of the other ones.
Yes, it is. And overall,
because the pink.
I the kits this year, I appreciate all three of them for their kind of a bold look. I mean, last season, Atleti didn't make any alterations. Starting before last season, Atleti didn't make any alterations to their kit for competitions outside La Liga. You saw in the Champions League, they kind of used a different font. This season, they're using different fonts. They have an alternate shirt now. We're moving up in the world.
Yes, we are, and the La Liga font. I don't know if we've talked about this. What
we
are your
haven't.
Thoughts on the La Liga font?
I like it.
I think it looks pretty good. I stare at it a lot because I just think it's kind of blocky, but I like it. I think it's a good standardized, because that always bothered me that it wasn't standardized.
Yeah, like the other big leagues have it all standardized, but La Liga, of course, didn't.
And let Real Madrid have their Comic Sans jerseys.
It's nice to join everyone else in the 21st century.
Yes, welcome. We all have to wear the same font.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that with Andrew on Monday's pod, but I didn't. I do like the standardized font, and I think it's really well done.
Yeah, I think it looks good with all the jerseys. I mean, they made a big deal out of that.
I haven't really seen a bad one yet.
Mm-mm, no, there haven't been any clangers.
Although it has been only 3 weeks, so I require more time to fully flesh out that opinion.
I'm sure Getafe or something have some terrible away shirt. It's all just going to go downhill.
Indeed it might. All right,
play
Rob.
Another meat shirt team. Can we play them again?
I'm on.
Yes, the Hamon.
Yeah. All right, Rob, what else you got?
I think that's it. You know, nil-nils all over the place. Hopefully we'll get some goals this weekend.
I think we used up our allotment of goals for the next month against Las Palmas.
Yeah, that would be understandable. We did kind of, we ran them. But that's okay. The XG gods are not kind.
No, they are not, as evidenced on Tuesday. I'm looking at that chart again. It's just disgusting. How do you not score one goal?
Yeah, people don't like that. That was a bit unfortunate.
But alas, that is in the past. We look forward to the future. That is Rob Walker. Rob, thank you for coming on Colt Gennaro Chat.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. That's RWALK03. Got it. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at JBBarron, JBBERREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Into the Calderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, TuneIn. And, Rob, did you know we have a Patreon page?
I might have heard something about that.
You heard correctly. Colt Gennaro Chat has a Patreon page. So get on over there if you're interested in supporting the show and if you're interested in some cool benefits. Some of the benefits that patron Chris Galvez is entitled to. He gets to see exclusive photos of the podcasting process. He gets exclusive polls and more. So if you're interested in hopping on that train, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. That is patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Adios.